Amen. So welcome. This is session number two. We've got five more to go. And let me just say up front, man, this is exciting to have this big a group here. I mean, this last week we had 53 folks here, even with some folks missing for the storm. Matthew, they called him out right as he walked through the door, and the Ollises and the Albricks, they were like, couldn't get here because trees were down and power lines were down, and Dan couldn't get here because trees were down. And so we're thankful that they're here tonight. So anyway, thanks for being a part of this. So I'm just going to jump into it. I have to turn this little dude on. I have problems with this little thing. Okay, this is kind of our go-to scripture. Matthew 28:19-20, it says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples." And this is the year where we are intentionally going to make disciples here at Trinity. Amen. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, last week, just to go over a couple of things, last week we talked a little bit about what evangelism is not. Amen? There's a lot of things that churches do, a lot of things that people do that we think it's evangelism, but evangelism isn't just having a potluck, amen? Evangelism isn't just inviting people to come to church. Evangelism is what? Telling the good news story of the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen? The gospel has got to be presented in order for it to be evangelism, yes? Okay, so last week we learned what evangelism is not. We learned what evangelism is, pretty simple, short story, but we also started working on our impact list. And so some of you that weren't here last week, if you go to the back of your lesson number one, you'll see how to put together an impact list, okay? And so I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to work on it. All of us need an impact list because those are the individuals that we're going to be going after. We're going to be thinking, man, God, you give me these souls, amen? So here it is. This is a little quote by a guy named John Wesley. He says, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." John Wesley. So I thought that was a good quote to start off with. Amen? Guys are exciting tonight. Next one, the privilege of prayer. How many of you all know that if we don't pray over this stuff, it's just not going to happen? It's a supernatural event. It's going to be a God thing or it's not going to be a thing at all. God has got to do it. And so we have this amazing privilege of prayer. We enjoy this privilege. And it is a privilege that literally is beyond measure. We have a God that is a God in heaven that is an all-loving, all-knowing Heavenly Father. And we can approach His throne with boldness. Amen? Folks, this is the amazing thing about it. We enjoy having a relationship with God that we can call Him our friend. He calls us His friend. Better than that, He calls us His children. Amen? The privilege of prayer. We enjoy this privilege, and before ministry can start, we must open this communication channel with God. I really believe that every one of our lessons throughout this study course is going to begin with some type of acknowledgement that we've got to pray. Amen? So this next slide, this is evangelist Ed Silvasso. He says, "We should always talk with God about our neighbor before we talk with our neighbor about God." I thought that was pretty good. I believe that prayer is an absolutely vital part of every effort that we do to share our faith. And there's a couple of scriptures here. This is John 16:24. It says, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Folks, I will tell you this. Whenever you win somebody to Jesus Christ, you will not go home sad that day. Come on. You win somebody to Jesus Christ, man. You will not go home all downtrodden. Whenever you walk in the door, your spouse is not going to say, "Oh, honey, what's the matter with you? You're going to go, I led somebody to the Lord today." No, you're going to have joy in you. Amen? Another scripture. This is John 15:7-8. It says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So a couple of scriptures there to start off with. As you go about your day, pray continuously for an opportunity to share the gospel. That's the key here. Pray for opportunities to share the gospel as you go throughout your day. Amen? I challenge you not to just say, in the morning I'm going to pray. But as you go about your day, use those moments whenever you're driving down the road. Use those moments whenever you're pushing a cart through the aisle. Use those moments whenever you have a coffee break or a lunch break to say, Father, open the door for me to do ministry today. Open the door. Give me that open door. So give you some prayer points for evangelism. These are pretty easy. They're in your book. Ask God to open their spiritual eyes. Ask God to give them ears to hear. Ask God to give them faith to believe. Ask God to give them the will to respond. Ask God to send people into their lives to witness to them. Ask God for ways to build caring relationships. Ask God for opportunities to witness. Ask God for boldness to witness. Ask God for an opportunity to invite them. Ask God to set them free from spiritual captivity. Oh, come on, come on. Okay, did we get them all? Whom do I share the gospel with? That's a question. Whom do I share the gospel with? I mean, that's a legitimate question, yes? I mean, here we are. We're in church in Franklin, North Carolina, and we got folks all around us, and so who do we share the gospel with? This is it. There's no shortage of people who need to hear the gospel. That is an absolute fact. Amen? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to look far and wide to find somebody that you need to share the gospel with. There are lots of people that you can share the gospel with. So how do you recognize who they are? How do you know? I mean, man, you know what would make it cool is if everybody that you needed to share the gospel with would wear some kind of like colored ribbon around their face. You know what I'm saying? Like chartreuse. What color is chartreuse? Lime green. Oh, you miss Kathy? Is that what you got on? So you could wear something around. I mean, they could wear something around your face. However, it's not that easy. Amen? It's not that easy. Even whenever you go down to Walmart or Piggly Wiggly, it's hard to find who it is to share the gospel with. And so this is what we're going to do. We're going to start out with points of contact, okay? We got to have a point of contact where our lives intersect somebody else's life. Amen? I mean, I had several points of contact this afternoon whenever y'all were coming in. Had a point of contact with Dan. I talked to him for a minute. Had a point of contact with Matthew. Talked to him for a minute. I didn't have a point of contact with Clay because he wasn't here whenever I was making my point of contacts. I had a point of contact with you. My life intersected. Are y'all following what I'm saying? So our lives have got to have contact with other lives in order for us to be able to share the gospel. So anybody that has trouble identifying anyone whom they will share the gospel with, they can use these points of contact. They can find points of contact beginning with those with whom they have relationships, such as unbelieving family members. Does anybody in here, I'm just curious, is there anyone in here, anyone at all, that you might somewhere in your family tree have somebody that's a non-believer? Whoa, it's more than I thought. I'm sure all of us do. Amen? So we can share them with our unbelieving family. We can share them with our unbelieving friends. Now, I know some of us don't have friends, but that's okay. Okay, I'm just kidding. And lastly, we can share them with our unbelieving neighbors. We got neighbors around us. And folks, let me ask you this. How close does somebody have to be to your house before you can call them your neighbor? 100 feet. 10 miles. Okay. There's a little discrepancy between you two, okay? Somewhere in the middle of there is a neighbor. I have folks that live on Skeena that I consider my neighbors, but they don't live right next door to me. Amen? I don't think they have to be, you know, within 30 feet of your house in order for you to call them neighbors. See, because what some of y'all are doing right now, I can see it in your face. You're going, I don't live close to anybody, so I don't have no neighbors. Therefore, I don't have to witness to my neighbors. 10 miles. I'm voting for you. Okay. Now, here's just three examples, but there are others. Amen? I mean, you know, unbelieving family, unbelieving friends, unbelieving neighbors. Who else can we approach? Now, if you're Pastor Rick, you could approach your barber. I don't know who cuts his hair now, but used to, man. He had a barber. You can approach your pedicurist. Is pedicure fingernails? That's toenails? Manicurist. There you go. I got it. So, Matthew, next time you're in there for a pedicure? Okay. Anybody else? I mean, who else can we approach? We can approach people who... Hairdressers. Yes. And you guys know I go to one all the time. Yes. Okay. Our hairdressers. We can approach co-workers. And the list just goes on and on and on. I urge you to, even right there in your book, to write down some places where you know that you will find points of contact. Folks, I think you can approach people who wait on your tables. I think you can approach people who perhaps do work for you. You know, people come into your yard to mow the grass, so on and so forth, okay? Some people who desire to be everyday evangelists, one of the things that they do is they kind of back up and they pray and they say, God, you know, provide a place of witness for me today. Provide somebody for me to witness. Give me an opportunity, God. And that's good, yes? However, by them saying, God, provide for me an opportunity, a lot of times what they're asking for is they're asking for somebody to be provided that would actually come up to them and ask them what they have to do to be saved. Come on now, I'm being honest with you. You know, they're praying, they're saying, God, you know, provide somebody, give me an opportunity. And so what they're doing is they're saying, man, God, just get somebody to come up, you know, as I'm getting out of my car, and they can just say, hey, what I gotta do to be saved? Can I just tell you something? I've only had opportunities like that just a handful of times in my life. And I can tell you the only reason I ever had things like that happen to me is because I'd already preached the gospel. I was leaving work one day, walking out of the office, and a guy walked up to me and he goes, hey, can I have a talk with you? And I said, sure. And he said, I think I just need to give my life to Jesus. And I said, you're gonna have to come back on Sunday for that. And so, folks, this is the thing. We're never going to have that happen in reality, okay? And whenever we pray for opportunities, that doesn't mean that God's just going to send them right there to the parking lot where we're at, amen? It means that sometimes we got to open our eyes and we got to begin to look. In fact, sometimes it means that we actually go out and we pursue those opportunities, okay? So we have to look for points of contact. We have to look for people that need the gospel preached to them, okay? So this next one, open doors. How many of y'all like open doors? In the wintertime, it lets all the heat out of your house and you have to holler at your kids. Where do you think you're at? In a barn? I love that line. It's not necessarily the kind of open doors I'm talking about, okay? I like open doors. I don't like doors that are shut in my face, amen? And an open door basically means that there is an opportunity for evangelism to take place, okay? So open doors. We've got to constantly pray and look for open doors, okay? They're not just going to drop in our laps. On a scale of 1 to 10, okay? On a scale of 1 to 10, you guys rate yourselves, not your spouses or your friends. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself on the ability to notice open doors? Well, you don't have to say it out loud. You rate yourself low on the scale, that would be like 1, 2, 3. You rate yourself high on the scale, that would be like 7, 8, 9. Man, if you're 10, you should be up here teaching this. On a scale from 1 to 10, how do you rate yourself? Okay, those of you that were here last week and you learned about brain surgery, you got to remember this. Your reticular activation center. You remember last week we talked about it. What is it? It's a little filter in the back of your brain that separates stuff that's non-essential from stuff that's essential. Things that are important from things that are non-important, okay? Like right now, there's a lot of noises in this sanctuary, but you're filtering them out, hopefully. And all you're getting is my voice, right? There's the lights are buzzing. Preston's making noise. And there's things clipping. Your brain's filtering that out. Okay, example I used last week, I didn't know there was so many Toyota 4Runners in the world until I bought a Toyota 4Runner. I'd never even seen Toyota 4Runners in the past, but I bought one, and then all of a sudden, they're everywhere. Your reticular activation center. Got one more slide on that. This is what happens. Whenever you pray daily for open doors, it turns on your reticular activation center to opportunities to share the gospel. In other words, folks, if we don't ever pray for it, if we don't ever seek them out, we ain't never going to get them. We're never going to see them. You could be in a room where the Holy Spirit has prepared somebody, and they're 15 inches away from you because they're in a doctor's office waiting room, and the Holy Spirit's prepared them, and if your eyes are not open to the fact that that is a point of contact, and you can share the gospel with them, then I'll tell you what's going to happen. They will leave, and they will not have the gospel shared with them, and you will enjoy your Field and Stream magazine. True? True. Okay. Taking advantage of an open door can look like many things. Like making a new friend. Building a deeper friendship. Inviting somebody to hang out with you. Serving a friend. Dalton, I need some leaves raked really bad. Love you, man. Okay. Identifying with Christ. This is just basically, folks, living out your life for Jesus Christ. One of the things that I was impressed with last year that I heard the kids were doing was meeting at the flagpole every Tuesday. Do you still do that? Meeting at the flagpole every Tuesday and praying at the high school. What are you doing there? You're identifying yourself with Christ. Amen? Sharing your story. We're going to learn a little bit more about this later. Inviting them to church or inviting them to a Bible study. Sharing some kind of nugget of truth. Like, Trump should quit tweeting. Okay, never mind. No, that's not it. Setting up a gospel appointment or sharing the whole gospel with somebody. I want to go back to that next to the last one there. Setting up a gospel appointment. What in the world is that? Where you call them and say, I'll be there at 10 o'clock. And I'm going to share the gospel with you. Be ready. Or you're going to go straight to hell. No, what's a gospel appointment? Yeah, it's just inviting somebody so as that you can have that point of contact, an open door to their life to speak to them. And I will tell you this, I've set up gospel appointments before where I didn't share the gospel with somebody. It just wasn't the right time. It wasn't right. Are y'all with me? I thought I was doing it. All I did was strengthen a friendship, and then later on I set up another appointment where I was able to share the gospel. Are y'all with me? Okay, share the whole gospel. Instead of maybe just a little nugget. I mean, really get down and say, listen, man, where are you headed? Heaven or hell? You got a decision to make. Okay, whenever it comes to evangelism, remember this. Something is always better than nothing. Let me just explain something to you, folks. None of us in this room are going to be good at it the first time we ever do it. We're not going to stand up and go like Billy Graham. You in the balcony. No, never mind. We're not going to be... Some of you got that. Some of you know. What are you talking about? We don't have a balcony in here. Come. Never mind. We're not going to be experts at it. And we might feel like we're just tripping all over ourselves. But anything is better than nothing. Something, just something. Just telling people, man, Jesus loves you. I hope you know that. I hope you know that there's a God in heaven that delights himself in you. He loves you. Amen? Okay, next one. Intentional relationship building. Intentional relationship building. I lost my place. First of all, help me define this. what is intentional relationship building? Whenever you do it on purpose. I'm going to get to know that person right there. Amen? I'm going to minister to that family. Intentional relationship building. Amen? I think there's a lot of times we have to even evoke that with our own family members. Do I need to say any more? What? You want to invite them for Thanksgiving? Weird uncle? Okay. Intentional relationship building. Now, the reason we build intentional relationships is because what? Most effective evangelism happens between friends. Let me just tell you something, folks. Whenever you have a friend, you have a relationship with that friend, you have a friendship with that friend, you have earned the right to be heard. Are y'all with me? Whenever you don't know him from Adam, you have not yet earned the right to be heard. In other words, they can say, hey, shut up and get out of my face. And you know what? You need to. But whenever you got a friend, are y'all with me? And they say, shut up and get out of my face. You can say, listen, man, I love you. You are my friend. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? Intentional relationship building. Why? Because evangelism happens between friendships. We should be intentional in building deep and authentic relationships. Folks, this is where evangelism takes place. It's knowing people. And folks, this is what I don't mean that you have to know them intimately, that you have to know everything about their lives. I mean, folks, you can go to a store over and over and over and speak to somebody that waits on you for that 3-minute period that they're checking out your groceries, and you know what? You will get to know them. They will be your friend. They'll start calling you by name. I've got people that have checked me out at Walmart for years, and you know what they call me? Pastor. And they ask me questions about Amanda Desjardins' baby. Okay, you know I'm talking to, Don. Yeah? So, okay. Impromptu conversations. In your book, I think it says you have to have space in your life for impromptu conversations. This is a story of Philip, who ministered to a guy that was an Ethiopian eunuch who was reading out of the book of Isaiah. Philip, sent by the Holy Spirit, goes up beside this chariot, and he asks him, Hey, you got any popcorn there? No, that's not what he said. He said, what are you reading? And the guy told him, I don't even know, man. I'm reading, but I don't understand what it says. How can I, unless somebody guides me in this? And he asked Philip to come in the chariot with him, okay? Understand this, folks. Most of us pack our day so full that we don't have time to notice people around us who are spiritually thirsty. And I will tell you that I am absolutely, positively, 100% guilty of this. Whenever I go someplace and I got to just get in and get out, let me just tell you something. I suck at shopping. Okay? You people that like to go and just look and look and look and not buy nothing, I'm saying there is something wrong with you. I just go in and I say, okay, I came here to buy this. Let's buy. That's why I hate malls. There's just people wandering around malls just looking. I go, what? I'm pretty sure I could be qualified as that. Folks, we have got to give time in our lives where we can recognize points of contact, where we can recognize open doors that are around us. We've got to give ourselves time. If all you need is cucumbers and banana pudding whenever you go into Ingles, say, you know, even though banana pudding and cucumbers are on these two aisles, I'm going to walk down every aisle in this store and I'm going to look for a gospel opportunity. Because, see, I could go to two aisles and get my banana pudding and cucumbers. I almost forgot what I was talking about. But instead, I'm going to go down every aisle and I'm going to look for opportunities to preach the gospel. I think it would take another 5 minutes perhaps to go through the whole store, unless it's a Super Ringles. And then it'll take 7.5 minutes. They built onto a grocery store in Montana where we lived at, and one of the ladies in our church said, I hate that store. It's too far from one side to the other. It was about as big as our old Ingles. So anyway, long story short. Philip had this margin in his life for spontaneous conversation with the Ethiopian eunuch. There's another story in the Bible. You remember Peter and John? They were on their way to pray. One of the most spiritual things you could possibly do to be doing. They were on their way to pray. They were going through the Great Beautiful. Instead, they stopped and they gave time. Yes? Okay. So, a Kairos moment. I didn't misspell it. That's a Greek word, and it means time. Time. And I just talked about having time for an impromptu conversation, you know, time. And let me go back to that impromptu conversation. Folks, let me tell you, be very careful about robbing people's employers of what they're paying their employee to do. Okay? In other words, don't go in and capitalize a waitress's time who's spread out between 4 or 5 tables. Are y'all with me? Okay. Everybody's with me. Everybody said amen to that. Okay. It's a Greek word for time, and this is basically it. It is a moment whenever the Holy Spirit has prepared for you and whoever it is you're ministering to, he's prepared that. How many of y'all know that, believe it or not, the Holy Spirit's going to set you up? You start getting up and you start earnestly going after places and people to witness to. Are y'all with me? I will promise you this. The Holy Spirit will set you up. You will walk in obliviously. Okay, I'll be able to speak here in a minute. You will walk in unaware of what's happening with the Holy Spirit, okay? You're just going to walk in, not even think anything about it, and all of a sudden, you're going to meet with somebody who is ready to hear. Are y'all with me? I mean, man, it's just like, whew, I mean, whew, I've had it. I mean, I've had that happen where somebody just said, man, I'm ready. I've been prepared. I guarantee you, somebody's already been planting some seeds in their life. Somebody's been watering those seeds. And man, you are the lucky rascal that's going to get to harvest that soul. Woo, baby, that's good stuff. Okay, hey, don't feel bad about harvesting somebody else's watering. And if you come to my house, though, in my garden and start doing that, I will get a little upset, okay? But souls is a whole other thing. Don't get upset because it's biblical. Some people plant, some people water, and some people harvest. But this is what I will tell you. By the time we get through with this life, we will have done all of those things. If we are an evangelist. Amen? This is what it is. One more slide. Okay, whose initiative? I got to talk a little bit about this, and I'm moving quickly because I want to get to the last part of this. I want to go back. I left one line out. I had a guy come up to me one time and basically said this. I heard you were a pastor. And I said, yeah. And he said, my life sucks. Can I talk to you? I said, absolutely. Do y'all see what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit. This guy, I tell you what happened with this guy. His grandmother prayed for him. He had a grandmother that was full of Pentecostal fire. And I'm telling you, man, she prayed for this kid. This kid was a reprobate. And God brought him to me. He said, man, my life sucks. And he said, I'm going to tell you why my life sucks. My grandmother prays for me. And my life's miserable. He told me he used to not get sick whenever he drank. But he said, now I get sick almost every time I drink. He said, do you think that might be my grandmother? Okay, so let's talk about whose initiative. One of the most important questions to consider is under whose initiative is the conversation starting? Okay? Very important. Whose initiative is the conversation starting? There are at least three personal variables in each conversation. So if I strike up a conversation with somebody out in the woods somewhere, there's three variables that are involved in it. First of all, there's me or you, the everyday evangelist, the person who is doing the witnessing. Secondly, the person you're speaking with. All right? So we know there's two variables. If I'm talking with Kendall in here, there's two variables. There's me and there's her. And I could be witnessing to you. I could be saying, man, the alarm went off today. I had to come down here and turn it off, and the cops were here. I'm witnessing about the alarm. But if I was witnessing about Jesus, there's two variables, myself, the witnesser, and the witnessee. What's the third variable? Oh, it's in your book. Never mind. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. But now, remember the heading on this was what? Who is initiating this? Who is initiating this? The best and the most fulfilled conversations happen whenever the Holy Spirit is providing the initiative for the conversation. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you. Let me give you an example. You get up in the morning and you go, Father, I just pray you'll open a door for me today, a point of contact, these people I've been praying for, these friends that I've been trying to initiate more friendship with, Lord, I just pray for a point of contact, Lord God, so that I can have an open door just to walk through to minister. In Jesus' name, you go about your day. And all of a sudden, you just start feeling like, man, I think I ought to call them on the phone and just see what they're doing. Their name has just been on my heart this morning. Got it? What is that? That's the prompting of the Holy Spirit, the third person in this equation. And so you call them on the phone and say, hello? This is not really a phone, okay? So, hello? How you doing? Oh, really? Wow, that bad, huh? You think I could just drop by and we could just maybe talk about it? Maybe I could just have a word of prayer with you? You get there, the Holy Spirit has initiated that conversation. Are y'all with me? Let me just tell you something. Those are the ones that work. Those are the ones that work. Been some preparation take place in a spiritual sense to that individual's heart, okay? So, this next one. This happens whenever you're available and you have a desire to be used by the Lord. This happens whenever you are praying for such a conversation to happen. Folks, let me just say, you got to ask. You got to say, God, I want one of these primo conversations, you know? I've had a lot of them where it went in one ear and out the other. Y'all with me? I mean, I'm ministered to the gospel, out the other side, hit the wall, bounced off, ran down the road. But man, I've had some of these conversations, man, that I'm telling you, it stuck. You could see their face. You could feel the Holy Spirit dealing with them. You could see the conviction on them. Man, I pray for those primo ones. Amen? Whenever you put these two pieces together, these moments in time that the Holy Spirit's going to give you, these moments that the Holy Spirit initiates, whenever you do that, you're going to begin to see an increase in the number and the quality of your witnessing experiences. Are you with me? Okay. Okay, I'm just going to confess. Are y'all there? You won't take this to the district superintendent or anything? I have initiated a lot of these conversations my own self. Okay? I'm just going to tell you. And I probably will not ever stop. In other words, I didn't wait on the Holy Spirit to lead me, guide me, initiate, open a point of time in my life. Are you with me? I just seen somebody and I said, hey, I'm going to share the gospel with them. Y'all there? I can tell you, though, sometimes whenever you have opportunity like that and you take it, whenever you get through, it almost seems like how do I describe it? It almost seems like everything you did was forced. It was kind of hard. Does that make sense? Now, please don't misunderstand me. Preaching the gospel is a good thing to anybody. Are y'all there? I mean, even unwilling participants, I've preached to them. I've had them in hospital beds before where they couldn't get up. And I've preached to them. Are y'all with me? But man, I prefer those moments that are Holy Ghost setups. Are y'all there with me? And he will provide those. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There's going to be times as we, as a evangelistic team of people, leave this building where you're just going to initiate a contact. The Holy Spirit's probably not going to have anything to do with it. He's not going to be telling you, hey, go talk to that person. But you're going to recognize an opportunity, and you're going to take advantage of it. You're going to walk up and start talking to them. And they're going to say, hey, man, it's really pretty today. Yeah, it is pretty. You know who made all this stuff? My God, my Father in heaven made it all. Do you want to know something about my Father in heaven? Man, he loves you. He loves me, man. And I was a goof before just a few years back. I was terrible, man. But God came into my life. He gave me a new leash on life. He saved me. He set me free from my sins. I'm a blessed individual. Would you like to know more about my Jesus? You know, man, I'm condensing everything, but y'all understand what I'm saying? Sometimes doing that, you will walk away and you will feel like it was forced. Sometimes you'll even feel like maybe it just wasn't effective at all. But keep doing it anyway. Some plant, some water, and some harvest. Okay? I can tell you this, whenever that individual that you witnessed to, they get on down the line a little bit and somebody's harvesting them, they're going to look back and they're going to go, you know, that crazy guy 10 years ago that came up and whisked me down in front of Piggly Wiggly, I remember him telling me about his Heavenly Father. I remember him telling me about his conversion experience. They're going to remember you because that was their initial invitation to follow Jesus. Okay, enough of that. Goodness gracious. Okay, so now we've talked about people out there that were going to share the gospel. So now that you got people, you got your impact list, you got this whole plethora of people. That's a great word. You have this whole plethora of people. How do you get started? How do you share the gospel? First thing you got to do, once everyday evangelists have identified points of contact for evangelism, they need to, drum roll please, Dalton, please. Thank you. They need to engage these people in conversation. Now, let me just ask you a question. Is there anybody in here that is not capable of carrying on a conversation? No. You are capable, Jonathan, for heaven's sake. I've seen you do it. Like right now, you're doing it. Okay. Everybody is capable of carrying on a conversation. Amen? People, well, I'm just really timid. Yeah, but you can still carry on a conversation. I'm just really, really timid. Yeah, but you can still carry on a conversation. But Pastor, you don't understand. I'm really, 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 I'm fourth generation timid. Okay? You have to engage people in conversation. And it's simple. Conversation starter. I got that in there. No, that's in the right spot. It's simple. You just have to talk to them. You just got to talk to them. You just have to talk to them. Now, here's the kicker, okay? Everybody in here is probably thinking, oh, man, just walk right up to somebody, a stranger, and go, do you know Jesus Christ, Lord, Savior? Let me give you the Romans Road. Let me give you the four spiritual laws. Let me give you something. Because Pastor said I have to engage you in conversation. Will you talk back to me, please? Listen, man, let all the pressure of the gospel just evaporate right now because this is not what we're doing. We're not preaching the gospel to them yet. We are engaging them in a conversation, okay? A conversation. Man, that sky really is blue today. Come on. Or, how's Ewan's doing? Love that. I love that word. Or, if you're in Montana, you can say, do you want to go out and set on the Davenport? Does anybody know what that is? Praise God, nobody knows what it is. I went to Montana and we had to go sit on the Davenport. They said, you want to go sit on the Davenport? I thought it was some kind of room or something, you know. And they went in and they said, go ahead, sit on the Davenport. And I go, that's a couch. Never mind. Never mind. Okay. So you just have to engage them in a conversation. You have to talk to them about any subject. So let's talk about conversation starters, okay? Oh, we are doing so good. I'm so proud. Conversation starter, tactful. Listen to that first word. Tactful, spiritual conversation starters. Questions can open doors to significant evangelistic conversations. So in other words, a conversation, a tactful conversation starter can open a door to evangelistic opportunities, okay? Now, yes, sir. It's good. Great conversation starter. Absolutely. Listen, folks, there is millions of ways to start a conversation. Millions of ways. And I ask you to do this. Use your personality. I mean, that's his personality. But my personality may be totally different from that. Michaela's personality, totally different. Michaela is a martial arts expert. She can just throw somebody down, put her foot right in the middle of her throat and say, you're going to listen to me, aren't you? Uh-huh. I'm just kidding. I don't think she's an expert yet, but Matthew definitely respects her. So that's are y'all, I mean, use your personality. You don't have to subscribe to any kind of question or any kind of list out there. Just allow the Holy Spirit to use you. Use you. Use your talents. Use your experiences, okay? So this is tactful. There is a list of 44 starter questions in the back of your book, okay, on pages 27, 28, or something like that. You can go to them later, okay? So now we're going to talk about turning the conversation. Turning the conversation. Okay, I put turning the conversation here because it's kind of like turning a car. If you're driving down 441 and you want to turn on Coweta Church Road, you turn on your signal, you move over into the turn lane, and you make a turn. And you're no longer on 441, correct? You're now on Coweta Church Road. Okay? In the same way, you've got to learn how to turn a conversation. Whenever you have a conversation started with somebody out in front of Piggly Wiggly, and you said, man, would you look at that sky today? That dude is blue. That's Carolina blue. No, that'd be Georgia blue, wouldn't it? Because you're in... Never mind. Well, it's a Piggly Wiggly in North Carolina I'm talking about. So anyway, you look up there and you say it's blue, and they say, man, that is one of the bluest skies I've ever seen. And you start talking about that blue sky. Folks, if you sit there and talk for 5 minutes about the blue sky, are you following me? You're not going to get the evangelism done that you need to do. So somewhere along the line, in this conversation you're having, you have to turn the conversation. You got to get off the road that you're on, and you got to get on another road. There are some people that you can talk to, and they will take you down hundreds of roads if you will let them. Okay? Do you want me to start naming you? I mean, okay, never mind. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. Okay? This is one of those times where you really kind of have to be assertive. And you have to discover ways that you can turn conversations. The best way to turn a conversation is to use a transition statement. A transition statement. Every evangelist should anticipate and listen for topics that arise in a conversation to transition to the gospel. Some examples. Okay, y'all ready? It's good. It's good. And immediately you've thrown God in there. Which God? Okay, never mind. I'm just kidding. Let's say in the midst of the conversation, maybe it's somebody you know, and they start talking to you about their father. You know, my dad, he's losing it. I called him on the phone today, and he was talking about a cat that was on his lap that bit my brother. My brother hates it. Legitimate conversation I'm having today. You could take that conversation about my dad, and you could automatically change it to what? Because I want to transition. So how could I talk about, if I'm talking about my dad, how could you transition it to a gospel? No, no, you're missing it. I need to be witnessed to. Dan's talking to me. And I'm saying, Dan, my dad's losing it. He's talking about this cat on his lap. I don't know. My dad, he repeated the same story to me 5 times on the phone. I just don't know what. My dad's 85 years old. Dan has to change the conversation. We talk about cats and my dad losing it, and he's 85 years old. He's got to make a transition statement. You know, you talking about your earthly father reminds me of my heavenly father. Ding, 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 ding. Did y'all get that one? Transition statement. I don't want to talk about cats. I don't want to talk about being 85 years old. I want to talk about my heavenly father. Okay? Listen, man, here's one. The uncertainty of life. And that can come in all different kinds of forms, you know? Man, I'm really nervous about Trump. I don't know, man. He's probably going to blow up the country, get us into nuclear war. You know, he's crazy. He's got his finger on the button right now. You know that? He's got the codes. He's got the nuclear codes. I don't know. Y'all with me? Somebody talking to you about that, how can you transition that kind of conversation to a gospel conversation? Yeah, and then they go, the book of Revelation. We got to keep this simple. Got to keep this simple. There's a lot of uncertainty in the times, but I'll tell you this, there's no uncertainty whenever it comes to God. God has a plan for my future, and I'm going to be all right. It doesn't make any difference what happens to this nation that we live in. I'm going to be all right, and I'll tell you why, because I literally am in the palm of my Father's hand, okay? Y'all see, you got to keep it simple. You can't get all Ezekiel and Revelation on them, okay? I'm sorry. Okay? Another example. Coworker standing by the water fountain, drinking water, eating your donut. And they start telling you, man, you should have been with me this weekend. We got the boat out on the lake. Man, I'm telling you, I caught a 19.5-pound bass. I had him right up to the boat. My old woman was getting a dip net in there. Man, she wasn't getting it. He broke the line off. I'm telling you, that's the biggest. That would have been a state record, man. You should have seen him. Some of y'all are going. So that's what you did all weekend long is fish? Well, let me tell you what I did on this weekend. Man, I got my family in the car. We went to church. Our pastor preached this message. Man, it was crazy. Y'all there? Amen. See, you can transition. You have to have a transition statement. Amen? Okay, I think we got one more slide here. Oh, no, we don't. Okay. All right, I need 5 volunteers to come up and help me. You guys are going to have to say something. Dalton, I'll let you come and help me. Okay. Just hold on to that one. Anybody else want to help me? You want to help me? Come on, man. Come on, you adults. You bunch of chickens. I am not raising my hand. I am not raising my hand. I got to get some adults, man. I got to get some adults. I got 2 more. Come on, I need a couple of adults. Oh, come on. Come on, Miss Stephanie. You're perfect. Come on. Okay. All right, what we're going to do is we're going to let these folks tell you their story. And we're going to see how you guys can formulate a transition statement, okay? So we're going to start right here with you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, you got that all memorized? Can you read it? Okay, this is a tragic one. This actually happened this summer here in our community. So read it.
Have you seen how the forest fires
have devastated
our beautiful mountains?
Okay, so have you seen how the forest fires have devastated our beautiful mountains? And this guy, he's crying about it, man. I love these Smoky Mountains. I just love them. And man, I just went up there. There was this char everywhere, burnt. There was little baby deers. They were just burnt to a crisp, but they were tasty. Okay. All right. Somebody give me a transition statement. You're talking with this guy. Give me a transition statement. God made the mountains. It's good. That's good. Anybody else? There's a ton of transition statements to these. Stuff has to die before life can come forward. And that baby deer had to die. It had to die like a pig. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Butch? I was hoping somebody would do that. Yeah, that reminds me of hell. Anybody don't give our Lord a Jesus going straight to hell. Okay, you know, you might ought to think about that one for a while. Remember, we're loving people to Jesus, okay? Listen, man, I ministered to a guy for years, and he was just a terrible, terrible human being. And I used to get with him, and I'd say, and this was in the potash mines, I said, man, do you smell that? He said, what? I said, I smell smoke. And man, whenever you smell smoke underground, that can be really serious, you know? I said, no, I smell smoke. He'd go, really? I mean, do you really smell it? I said, yeah, I mean, I smell it. And then I go, oh, never mind. It's you burning in hell. I told him that. Listen, though, I was able to lead him to the Lord. But that was humor. We used that with each other. Okay, you can sit down. Thank you for that. Okay, let's see. I'm going to, Dalton, this is yours, and I gave you a special one. Are you ready?
Yeah, hold on, wait, let me stand.
Okay.
All right. My kids are driving me crazy.
My kids are driving me crazy. And you know why I gave that to Dalton? Because that is my prayer for him.
Amen.
Whenever he's about 35, 40 years old, got a whole van load of kids, 15 pasture van load of kids, I'm praying, oh God, oh God, oh God, give him 3 Daltons and 4 Prestons.
In Jesus' name.
Okay, so now what we need is a transition statement. You got somebody in front of you having coffee at McDonald's, and they say, man, my kids are driving me. Okay, I need a transition statement. Somebody help me. Guys, this is what we got to get good at, because I'm telling you what, this makes you good at evangelism. Is you can turn them on a dime. He gave me peace and narcotics. Okay. Anybody else? Transition statement. Got one? Yeah. Okay. Remember, we're loving people. Okay. You guys are getting hard like me, okay. Absolutely. You can make a transition to what we offer kids at church. That's good. Anybody else? Somebody have another transition? Who? Yeah, that's good. Michelle had a good one this afternoon. I bounced this off of her.
When that happens, I just have to pray, because that's the only thing that gives me peace.
It's good. I mean, you know, there's a big diversity in these questions, but there's always a transition statement. If you engage those points of contact in conversation, you've got to turn that conversation. You have to. Otherwise, you will not be able to preach the gospel. Okay?
Oh, I'm not going to have enough funds to pay my rent this month.
How are you going to turn that one? Not going to have enough money to pay my rent this month. Okay? I've got a rich Heavenly Father. Yeah, what we can't do, God can. Okay? Trust the Lord. Somebody help me. Okay. Come on, guys. Wait, help me with this. Help me with this. Absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, all of these things, I mean, probably need to end with a prayer. Even if you can preach the gospel, say, listen, you know, this is Jesus, this is who he is, but can I pray with you about this situation? Because I believe God is a miracle worker. Amen? Okay? I think a good transition statement would be, you know, who do you work for? Okay, well, I work for such and such. And you get a check from them that provides for you. You know, I see it totally different than that. I work for so and so, but everything's provided to me by my Heavenly Father. God provides for me. And there's been times in my life whenever I couldn't make ends meet, but God always came through. He's a faithful God. You see how quickly you can turn a conversation. So, Michelle, you guys can go sit down if you've already read your questions. I'm sorry.
We sure are having some cold weather lately.
Yeah. I had originally put hot there, and then I thought, these people are going to be agged on by me, and I don't want them to do that. So... okay, we've been having some cold weather lately. You're not supposed to twist it that way. Okay, been having some cold weather lately. So, somebody help me. Yeah, I know. She prays every year. And I have a team of people to counteract that prayer. God's in charge of our weather. Okay. Some of you guys are sitting there and you are thinking of great ideas, but you're not sharing them with anybody because you think you can write a book. Share your ideas. Stephanie, what did you say?
I said after the cold, God brings us new life.
But I sure am looking forward to spring, man. All the new life. Man, great transition. It's better than I'm praying for snow, by the way. Okay. See, y'all see how perfect that was? Y'all see how perfect that was, man? But I'm looking forward to spring, man. Because spring brings new life. Yada, yada, yada. Perfect. Okay. Got one more. Because I think they're giving up on me.
They are. Don't give up, guys. On the way to work, I had a flat tire and no one would stop to help me change it.
I wrote that in honor of Michelle. Okay. So I was on my way to work today, had a flat tire, and not one single blessed person would stop to help me. Okay, so. No, you're witnessing. This ain't your tire. I know, it'll work. Okay, somebody else, another transition statement. Clay, help us. Turn to Jesus and he'll help you change your tire. Oh, turn to Jesus and I'll help you change your tire. We'll work for Jesus. Okay. Anybody else? Amanda? See, guys, these transition statements, they genuinely will prick somebody's curiosity. That's perfect. I mean, I have a whole group of people that would come and change my tire for my church. I know I could call them. Well, what kind of church do you go to? Well, it's really not the church, man. It's just people in our community of believers that love Jesus. And they would be here just because they love Jesus, not so much because they go to our church. They just love Jesus and want to serve. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Okay. So do y'all understand points of contact? Y'all understand open doors? Do y'all understand these opportunities that are impromptu opportunities that you look for? And let me just say this before we move on to the next thing, because I'm going to give you quite a bit of time. I am so proud of myself, man. I'm so proud of myself that I got through all this. Okay. There are ways to start conversations that don't have anything to do with these 44 conversational starters in the back of the book. It's not necessarily one of those moments where the Holy Spirit sets it up, those moments in time, y'all with me? But, I mean, it can be as simple as standing behind somebody in line and, you know, they're standing there with their hand on, you know, the railing at Taco Bell, you know, and you look down at their finger and you see this big old monster diamond. And you say, "Are you a deacon's wife?" No, I'm sorry. I'm just joking. I'm just joking. No, you look down at that diamond and you go, "Man, oh man, I admire that diamond. That's awesome. Is it real?" No, don't say that. So if you started a conversation with somebody in front of you because of the diamond ring they're wearing on their hand, how could you transition that into the gospel? Okay. Anybody else? Talk about how God's going to build heaven with precious stones. Okay. Speaking of heaven, you know, if you were to die right now, because I have a gun in my backpack, and I wasn't planning on ordering no tacos. Where would you go? Guys, this whole thing is out of control. And it's Dalton's fault. Okay. Folks, there are a myriad of ways that we can start conversations with people. I mean, you can talk about the weather. You can talk about their diamond ring. You can talk about where they get their hair cut. Ladies, you can comment on another lady's clothing. You know, I mean, that's a great opportunity. So, "Oh, that is the cutest dress. Where did you get that at?" And you immediately start a conversation. Men, you can comment on their tools. You know, say, "Hey, man, that is an awesome nail gun. Where'd you get that table saw?" And you can, or their pickup. I mean, man, you go, "Oh, man, I want that pickup." You know, no. You can comment on so many different things. I mean, I know a guy who his big thing is to comment on people's piercings and tattoos. He uses it. He says, "Hey, man, tell me the meaning of that tattoo on your arm." And people, it's amazing. He says, man, people are just so eager to tell them, "Oh, well, you know, I got that tattoo, you know, so-and-so today, you know, this is my daughter's name, you know," and they tell them everything about that tattoo. And he has a way to transition that into a conversation about the gospel. People tell him about piercings. And they say, a lot of times with piercings, what they tell him is, they tell him a time. They say, "Oh, I got this piercing to celebrate my, you know, fourth anniversary with my husband," so on and so forth. And he goes, "You know, that's amazing. You know, speaking of anniversaries, today is my 30th year anniversary for being a child of God. I got saved 30 years ago today." You know, I mean, see how easily it transitions. You have to have that transition statement, okay? Transition statement. Because without that, you can't preach the gospel. It's just too awkward to just walk up to somebody and start preaching the gospel. And let me make sure we kind of get this. That transition statement, I really believe, can be set up by the Holy Spirit. In other words, he can give you wisdom and he can give you the right timing. If you walk up to somebody and say, "Man, that is a beautiful diamond ring. Man, that's just beautiful. That thing is awesome. Don't go down South Skeena, because I tell you, there are people who take that from you." You know, don't think that you know, 30 seconds later, you have to have a transition statement. You know, they go, well, you know, my husband bought this for me and blah, blah, blah. I say, yeah, but do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Because that diamond's not going to do you one bit of good. Store up treasures in heaven where they don't rust, they don't decay. Thieves don't break in and steal them. You understand? Let the conversation go, you know? I mean, sometimes you may not have a transition statement. You may be just getting to the end of a conversation with somebody and you just don't feel that prompting of the Holy Spirit to just go farther with them, you know, to preach the gospel to them. And maybe you should say, listen, I've enjoyed this conversation this morning, but before I get away from you, would it be okay if I prayed for you? Because I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus. If there's anything I could pray with you about today, I'd be glad to do that. Or you can just say something, man, I've enjoyed talking to you today. Let me give you the one serious thing that I really need to say. I just want you to know that God seriously loves you. It says in the Bible that he loved you so much that he actually gave his son to die for your sins. He loves you. Just want you to know that, man. Take that away from this conversation. He loves you. And I'll be honest with you. I love you too. And it's exactly what you said. I've been praying for you today. You can leave it at that. And they may go, really? You're a Christian? And then they may ask you a question. Man, that's awesome. If it's a spiritual thing, you know, like if they say, I like your ring too, that's not a good thing, you know. Okay. Y'all okay with that? Before we go into this next part, are there any more questions or anything that you guys can think of? What the gospel is, what it is not, our impact list, and then we got to move to those people, those points of contact. We got to move to those transition statements. We got to initiate conversation with them. Amen? Okay, we're going to talk about your story, and I'm going to give you the remainder of the service to work on your story, okay? I'm going to go over this first page with you. Let me show you how it's written. Your story of your journey of faith is one of the most crucial ways that people see how Jesus is relevant to life. Let me just share this with you. There's only one thing that's more important in this whole series of classes that you have to learn. Only one thing that's more important than your story. And that's how to preach the gospel. You have to know the gospel. You just got to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's the number one most important thing. Number two most important thing is your story. Folks, this is it. I can talk about Matthew's conversion all I want to, and I just don't feel anything from it because I'm not Matthew. I can talk about Dan's conversion all I want to, but I just don't feel anything. But I'll tell you right up front, I can talk about my conversion, and I feel it. Nobody's going to argue with me about it because I experienced it. Are y'all with me? I mean, I'm dogmatic about it. This is what happened in my life. This is what Jesus has done for me, okay? So, your journey of faith is perhaps the most crucial thing that you can learn. Learn how to use it. Learn when to use it. So as that you can preach the gospel to people, okay? So that's the last slide, but I want to go through this. It's in your book. It's under the coaching corner. Many people can't articulate or don't know their own story of faith. Folks, I will tell you this. Probably 90% of Christians out there cannot articulate their journey of faith. They can't tell you. They kind of know it. It's in little bits and pieces, but they can't succinctly go through and tell you their journey. Does that make sense? Assuming, because you want to learn about evangelism, that you've had this encounter with Jesus Christ and you want to share it with others, at some point you become a Christian, it might have been some kind of dramatic conversion, like the Apostle Paul, whenever he was struck down on the road to Damascus. It might have been a gradual awakening, like Timothy. You might be able to point out some day, some time. You might say, I walked to an altar. I kneeled down in my bedroom. You might be able to say, hey, man, it happened, but I'm really not sure when it happened. That happens to a lot of people. They can't look back and say, hey, February the 4th of 1980, I got born again. They can't do that because it was just, it happened differently for a lot of people. Sometimes it was a gradual thing that happened in their life. No matter how it happened, you need to know your story. and know it well so that you can so you can share relevant portions at a moment's notice. The purpose of this conversational guide is to give you some guidelines to think, to remember, and to see the process of your conversion experience. Your conversion did not happen in a vacuum. Does it say, or a microwave in your book? Because that was in there. I don't know how I deleted that. I thought it was so awesome. Your conversion didn't happen in a vacuum or a microwave. It was supposed to be in there, but rather as a fruit of the process that God used in your life. The non-Christians that you encounter will be in some part of their process of conversion. In other words, they're going to be somewhere on their journey. They might just need some seed planted. They might need some watering. They may need to be harvested. And you can use that story of yours to help understand where they're at. Does that make sense? Okay. So, doing this exercise, it's not going to be over with in 5 minutes. Guys, I will tell you this. If you do this the right way, you will be working on this until we finish this series up 5 weeks from now. If you do it the right way, because remember what I said? The only thing more important than this is you learning how to preach the gospel. Your story is absolutely imperative to you being a good evangelist. I can't even remember a time where I've ministered to somebody one-on-one that I did not go back to my story. I can't even remember a time. That's how important it is to me. I mean, this is my experience. Are y'all with me? This is what happened to me. I mean, this is me. I'm not telling them about somebody. They're looking across the table and they're seeing me, and I'm saying, man, this is my story. This is what Jesus has done for me. This is what Jesus did for me. This is how Jesus takes care of my life today. Are you there? Your experience of personal evangelism will be much richer if you can master your own story. The questions might seem like they overlap, and that's okay. Sometimes we get insight by answering the same question a different way. You also might not have the answers to some of these questions, and that's fine as well. So there may be some of these questions that are totally irrelevant for you. You go, that didn't happen to me. And so just skip through it. So I'm going to give you the rest of this session, which is about 15 minutes, to just start looking through these things. This is what I would ask you to do. Before you write down anything, just read over the whole book, the whole last part of the book. Just read over it. Get the questions begin to churn on the inside of you. And I encourage you to, this coming week, work on it.